Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Heidi.
This is Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Heidi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Heidi Bennett comes to us from Cabin Minute Cast, which is a minute-by-minute podcast and breakdown of the movie Cabin in the Woods.
That is
Yeah, it's really
correct.
Good.
Very good. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You were one of the hosts.
I was.
Of Spinal Tap Minute.
Yes.
Too. Another great.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And in the can, so to speak. Although every once in a while, Sean and I'll pop in for a little recap of whatever's going on with the guys over at Spinal Tap.
That's awesome.
That is cool.
Check in with each other.
Well, this week we are in the White Room. We are knee deep in this mission. So this minute begins with Luther seeing the bug Claire had just placed onto William Dunlow in the cafeteria and ends, well, also has a bevy of cool tech in the middle of this minute, and then at the end we see Dunlow checking his watch. So it's bookmarked by Dunlow. William Dunlow.
It's a Dunlow minute.
Yep. Hot damn, we're in it now. The heist is going on.
Yes, and Ethan and Jean Reno are climbing through ducts.
They are. They're scurrying through ducts. The music ramps up. The Danny Elfman score is going nuts.
Yes, it is.
It actually almost sounds like hijinks music.
Yes, it does. It does. It's very hijinksy. I was wondering though, as I'm watching this, cause they're very cool ducts and they're very well lit and, very,
They are well lit,
but they're not just that, but they're like specifically lit. Like there's red lights and blue lights in there. And I know that these are built, but I'm wondering if they were built a little bigger or smaller to suit Tom Cruise.
They were built bigger to suit
Jean Reno. There you go. Yeah.
Jean Reno is 6'2".
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is 5'4" on a good day.
But what I'm saying is, I wonder if they made some just for Tom Cruise's shots and then some for Jean Reno's shots, because they look the same in both
ends.
Oh,
yeah, that's very possible.
Oh, kind of like the old Jason and the Argonauts, like claymation, like they made different scale models of things.
For different actors, yeah.
So Tom Cruise is in a smaller vent, so it looks like he's the same size as Jean Reno.
Exactly, because that's what it looks like. It's like the Hobbits.
And Jean Reno is in a massive... massive one.
You know, that reminds me of already I'm ready for a tangent, guys. I heard you guys are cool for tangents.
Do it. So,
no, it just reminded me of watching a bunch of CSI, like binging CSI way back in the day, and how I started to realize that they always shot William Peterson to look a lot taller than he was. So they'd always shoot like the other, especially the other guys that were on his team, they'd always be sitting and he'd be standing over them, or, you know, they'd be on the lower part of the stairs and he'd be, and it was interesting, as once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it, you know, and then every time I noticed that they must have had to do a lot of blocking, you know, for all the shots to make sure he was looking like a big, big boy.
That's a good point. We'll have to keep up with that, because later in this movie, Tom Cruise grabs Jean Reno and throws his arm up against the wall. We'll have to check where their heads are.
Yeah.
Because Jean Reno should be about 8 inches taller, but I'm pretty sure in the shot they are pretty close to being the same height.
It's like one of those Avengers things where every time Gwyneth Paltrow's in the same shot with Robert Downey Jr., she's got no shoes
on. Right.
And he's got something else on in order to make him equal. Yeah.
He's sitting on a half apple.
Yeah, exactly.
Industry term, half apple.
Or those, for the X-Files fans, the Scully Box, I think is the other title for it.
Scully Box,
Scully Box. Yeah, because she's a tiny little one too.
Yep.
Tom Cruise's tiny little body is zooming through these passages.
Yes.
For some reason, I wrote in my notes, I assumed he was covered in baby oil. I might have been reading this the novelization a little too much.
The lovely novelization,
Heidi. So you know we have the novelization of the movie, and it reads like smut. So. Yeah.
That's a nice way of putting it.
And this week won't disappoint, trust me. But he goes running. He's crawling through, like army crawling through the duct. And they're coming up on the air vent, the one that's got the laser grid. And Jean Reno is lumbering behind him. And Jean Reno does not look happy to be in this vent anyway.
No, he does not.
He's like, I'm like the cream in this metal eclair. I don't know. Why do I follow this man? So they're going, you know, they're... They've made it to the vent now, and the vent has these cool lasers that are shooting out of it. They got knapsacks on their backs. I think we saw in the previous minutes last week, they were putting their firemen's uniforms in those bags. I know they're bringing a lot of equipment with them, but leaving the firemen suits from last week would probably have been a bad idea. They are spies. They should take their stuff with them because you don't want to come into a room later and find three uniforms for firemen.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if they left some of them at the start of the vent so that way they didn't have to carry them all the way here.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. But why? You think they left them? But what if somebody walks
in? No. They left them at the start of the vent. Like they got climbed up into the vent and they left them there and then they crawled this way and then they'll crawl back to the other side because they still got to go back to that other side of the vent to get out and have the suits there. You know?
They have like a 15 foot drop they have to go through. The vent goes straight up.
I like how you said Jean Reno was lumbering because when I go back and forth kind of between him and Tom, it's like Tom looks like a sleek salamander. Like his moves are completely different. And
Maybe my baby oil comment's not that far off. No, he just seems slicker. He seems like he can just move better. He's just nimble. I don't know.
Yeah, and we know that Jean Reno can be nimble because he was in Lyon. I mean, and in La Femme Nikita and all these other movies he's been in. He moves really smoothly. But I guess it was the direction to say, no. Tom does this, you do this.
Also, he seems to be almost a comic relief.
Yeah.
At least this week, he's he's sniffling and sneezing and having trouble with different things and but he's also the guy who's holding Ethan up. We'll get to that part.
Yeah.
But he's very important to this part of the mission.
Yes, he is.
We see William Dunlow and Claire sitting in the cafeteria. She has added the patch to the back of his shoulder so that now Luther can track him. Awesome. She's also added the, I assume, poison to kill William Dunlow because he's so boring.
I don't think she's killing him. I think she's just poisoning the crap out of him.
Well, we don't know yet, Chris. We can't infer anything.
Why would they want to kill somebody in the CIA? I mean, seriously. Well, it is William Dunlow. You're right. They would be like, nobody's going to miss him.
Oh, just wait until I read to you what he's thinking in this scene. At second 15... She stands up and she walks away from him and he, kind of looks at her a little bit and then goes back to reading his newspaper.
You mean Librarian Claire?
The book wasn't having any of that, so
of course
not. Decided to add some zest. So I'm going to read that to you right now.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
This is Jonathan reading moment.
In the lunchroom, Claire checked her watch, took a final sip of coffee, and headed for the door. William Dunlow allowed himself to watch her walk out of the room, and even allowed himself a quick, vivid fantasy involving this stunning girl. This is written in a book.
Oh my god.
Then she was gone, and he returned to his...
Oh jeez, pardon me.
There's more. Oh god.
It's okay. Given the fact that the rest of Donlo's day was going to unfold, he might later, in the fit of religious guilt, believe that what happened that day was divine retribution for his brief but wicked fantasy involving the woman he had seen in the lunchroom.
Oh. So the book's telling us he's Catholic then.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, he's got guilt. He could also be Jewish.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
We're good on guilt too.
Yes, you are. But he didn't think, this woman's never been in this cafeteria before, and all of a sudden she's here and sitting next to me.
Well, that's the closest William Dunlow has been to a woman. Oh, we know he's married. Well, he wears a wedding ring.
He wears a wedding ring, yeah.
Heidi, this is inferred. We don't know that he's married.
It's part of his cover at the CIA.
The man sits in a box all day, so he may be lying.
Either that or his wife is the secretary that has the keys and everything in the other side of the office.
It's a great way to think about it, Chris. I really hope that woman in the other room of this office is his wife. Yes. How much fun is that?
That would be awesome.
Honey, can you let me back in? Honey, I've got to go in the office.
No, I know you were thinking about that lady at the lunchroom. You're dead.
Honey, I just threw up in the garbage can.
Honey, please hurry. I think it's coming out the other end.
So after Donlow's lurid, lurid...
Claire fantasy.
Claire fantasy. We go back to the laser grid. This laser grid's cool. It's to explain it to those of you that for some ungodly reason don't know what it looks like and haven't watched the movie or just listened to this podcast. Please, well, first, stop.
Go watch the movie.
Second, The laser grid looks like a grid with mirror bouncers on it. It looks like it's got a laser grid emitter on one end, and the light bounces three or four times off of different prisms and or mirrors, and then goes to a receiver at the end. And if any at any point
yes.
it's interrupted, the alarm goes off. Does that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm. It, right. It is a shame, though, that we don't get Tom Cruise, Catherine Zeta-Jones in it through the laser grid.
Oh, he doesn't sexy his way in between the lasers. No, he doesn't sexy his way in
between the lasers. Yeah, it would have been awesome.
I don't know. He is a little guy. He might be able to fit. Yeah. But yeah, he pulls out this really cool... What does this thing look like?
It looks like a weight, like a scale. Like if on one end it should have another scale, and on the other end, in the middle is the weight that evens it out.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a doctor's scale.
Yeah,
like the top part.
Exactly.
Like the part that they always hit those little, they hit that little number.
Yeah.
Move it over.
It looks like there should be like a thing on top so you weigh babies on it or something.
Yeah, and they place it, he places it above it, and it lowers itself down. And when it does, magic happens. The laser bounces off one end and then I guess gets trapped back and forth.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's like one mirror to another mirror. So it's just,
right.
It's just transporting it into a different mirror, but it's still going. So it doesn't think it stopped or right. broken the laser.
So it's shooting out and across horizontally hitting another mirror and going into the receiver. So it's still receiving, but instead of being in a crisscross pattern, it's just in a very tiny pattern.
Yeah.
Over on the side. Okay. Since I was in college, this has always been one of those vague science fiction things. I was always like, how does this thing work? Like, how does it lower in there? But okay, I can give that it works. We've given a lot of guff to some of the electronics in this movie so far, so I'll give it this one. This one's okay. And then my second favorite gadget gets used, which is the magical magnetic screwdriver.
Oh, that's my favorite though, man. Because if I had that screwdriver, I wouldn't have to use the screwdriver on anything. I just use that thing on everything. Here, put my desk together.
Chris, I don't think it's real.
Shh.
I don't think that's how magnets work.
You be quiet.
I've never seen a magnet that can turn something.
You leave me alone. I'm having my wicked little fantasy about that magnet machine right now. I'm having my Dunlop moment about it.
It's this cool little stick, and it comes down through the grate and turns at a 90-degree angle, and it has this cute little cup, little container under it, and the screw just magically starts coming out.
Brilliant.
And it falls into this little cup, and I'm like, this is the best production design, the best prop I've ever seen.
You know there's somebody in the garage for the last 20 years. Like,
yeah, it seems like something they'd try to do on Mythbusters.
It's impractical.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so cool.
Oh, that's
cool,
a good one.
Though.
Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah.
But they, I'm going to give props. I'm going to give props.
To the props.
Yeah. I'm going to give props to the prop man. Tony Allard is the guy, or Allard is the guy who created this. He was the prop master in this movie. He did Short Circuit. He did the props for that movie. And so he actually helped create Johnny Five.
Who's alive.
He did Demolition Man.
Ah.
He did Planet of the Apes, the 2001 version, the one with Marky Mark. Uh-huh. And then everyone's favorite, Anaconda.
I don't want none unless you're got buns on.
I hope to God that he made that snake.
The snake that eats John Voight?
Oh, yeah, that snake that eats John Voight. It's all coming back.
It all comes circular, full circle.
That's what I was just thinking.
Yes. Oh, and John Voight does the worst accent in that movie. It's even worse than any accent that we could do.
It's like he's doing like a bad impersonation of Pacino and Scarface. It's so bad. Maybe it was one of those things. I'd like to pretend now that it was, you know, that John Voight gave him guff on Mission Impossible, and he's like, oh, I'm going to get you back one of these days. You just
watch. Speaking of Scarface, you guys were talking about the kind of laser light show that's sort of going on. Not the lasers themselves, but the lighting and... Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was kind of thinking
the De Palma lighting,
this sort
De Palma-esque
of reminds
lighting.
Me like the way the shadows are coming across Tom at a certain point in there sort of reminds me of that body double.
Yeah, it's got that sort of body double. Yeah, exactly. Body double neon 80s look that De Palma goes for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say that it was Bordello light.
Yes. Body double.
And that is exactly what body double is. Also, kind of how
totally
Scarface's house looks at the end. It has that giant neon sign.
Yeah, the world is yours.
Yeah, it's definitely got that. It's got that coloring because it's like a lot of blues and reds.
Well, it's great because like
purple.
Exactly. When they go around the corner, you see that they've given it a light. The blue light's like flashing or spinning, like there's a fan or something there. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm sure they had to gussy this up as much as possible because, I mean, the amount of light that is coming in from every vent left, like right, crazy. And bottom, there's like a spotlight being shown through. And, you know, when they were coming up with this set, they're like, we got to light this thing. And otherwise, it is the most boring thing I've ever
seen. That's what I'm wondering. What's going on in that room?
Yeah. What's going on in that room? That was my thought, too.
It is the sexy CIA room. I will not follow him anymore. I will stay there. Yeah, it's Tom Cruise passes it too.
Yes,
I'm just
looking,
and I'm just scanning through it to see the different. There's so many different lights going on.
It's the room where the CIA keeps Supreme Leader Snoke. So you know it's all red in there. There's so much. Yeah, it's just like crazy.
Yeah, no, I was excited to get these minutes when they were sent to me by Jonathan. I was like, oh my, these are some good juicy looking minutes, and it's definitely lots of tech and lots of like. What I think of when I think of this movie, you know, like the scene for sure, or these, you know, upcoming minutes and they last a little longer than I'm going to be with you guys, but I get a not for hermetophobes minutes coming up too.
Yeah. I also have an hermetophobes minute and a hermetophobe warning for a later minute. But yeah, we're at this point, we're going to talk about the tech of the app. So let's do that right now. All right, tech of the ep. There's lots of contenders today. Chris, let's start with you. What tech do you think should be tech of the ep?
The screwdriver.
Magnetic screwdriver.
Yes, that is my dream tech.
Yeah, we'll put a link of this up on our Facebook group so everybody can go watch just this one section. It's so good.
Yeah.
Because it's so satisfying. They definitely worked out all the kinks when they shot this. Because it's a simple practical effect. Yeah. They just have it unscrew from, you know, behind, but it looks fantastic.
Yeah, these whole minutes, I mean, this whole sequence is the sequence of the movie. I mean, this whole, whatever you want to call it, but it's also De Palma going like full-blown Kubrick.
Right.
Like everything is like thought out and everything is meticulous. It's great.
What about you, Heidi?
I'm going to say this classic sugar pourer that's on the table next to the coffee in the... It's something that's still used today. It's real. It actually works. You can easily monitor how much sugar you pour in your coffee because you can see how much is coming out. It's got a large spout, so it doesn't get clogged up easily. And that is my tech of the app.
Heidi, you don't have to explain to us what a sugar pour is.
No, she might have to because you don't see those very often anymore.
Spent many a minute talking about this screwdriver. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. Or explain why I think it's the tech of the app.
I agree. Your veracity, and you came out of left field with that. Didn't even see that one coming. I also think, you know what? I'm going to go with the laser grid because one, Chris took the other one, and I want to make this as complex as possible. And the laser grid, I don't actually understand how it works. It has a sense of mystery to it, whereas I know how sugar.
Do you now?
I guess I do.
He's so much better than you. I mean, I gotta get it. Whatever.
Well, that one was easy. And now Heidi, just so you know, we don't actually vote on these things. We just name the tech of the app. What you do is keep it in mind for the end of the week. We'll do tech of the week. And that's where you will bring back something from the week and vote for it to be the tech of the week. That's very important.
Yes.
It's very prestigious. And there's a money involved in the prize. That's a big
visit to the White House.
I'll pass.
Sorry. You have to go. No, nope, it's mandatory.
We provide you with all the equipment that you'll need there, just like Mission Impossible.
All right. Well, this minute wraps with William Donald looking at his watch, so we'll find out tomorrow what the team's got to do next. They've already gotten the screws out of the grate. What's next?
That sounds completely wrong. They already got the screws out, so what's next? It's like Home Improvement all of a sudden. We've gotten the screws out. Come back tomorrow to see where we go with the next. It's all weird.
Well, we're going to come back tomorrow. Heidi, I hope you can join us.
I hope so, too.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Heidi, you want to tell us something?
Well, I like to be in the moment. You never know where this moment's going to take me. So let's hope for the best.
Okay, good. Well, if Heidi is coming back tomorrow, we can't wait to talk to her. Yes. If you'd like to talk to us, come to Facebook. It's this big, really popular application that's out there on the internet. You can find us at Impossible Minute Force. We talk about everything from the episodes of the day to our guests to the tech of the week, tech of the month, tech of the year. We'll talk about anything. So meet us over there or also on Twitter at Min Impossible, MIN Impossible. And you can also find us on Instagram at Minute Impossible, where I show behind the scenes. Later on, I might take a picture of all of us sitting here gabbing at the TV screen. So we'll see where that goes. Until then, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Heidi.
This minute will self-destruct. You make like an explosion. That was a slow burn. I like it.